And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here in Point Loma, right next to Fisherman's Landing, and we have a great guest with us today. Captain Andy Cates from the Red Rooster 3 is on the line. We're going to talk about big fish here and a lot more, so you stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Going to be a great time. So stoked to get to talk to Captain Andy today. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, good morning, Captain Andy Cates.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Right. How are you? You're joining us from Oregon, right?
Yeah, we're kind of getting prepared to leave right now. We're going to schedule to leave here at 9:30 in the morning. It's kind of a little bit of a project. You know, they got drawbridges that you got to schedule, and then the river's about 10 miles up the way from the entrance there, from the channel entrance, and then you got to time the tide correctly so that you go out at the right time so that it's safe to go out. But there's a little bit of orchestrating involved to get in and out of the river, but boy, what a beautiful place, and what a beautiful shipyard up here. About the only drawback was with this virus that everyone's been dealing with, you know, the shipping and getting resources was a little bit difficult, but that's about the only thing. Boy, what a nice experience up here, though, that we've had. The only thing now is we got to go home, and it's 3 days away, but, you know, it's just like driving to the hurricane bank, I guess. So
yeah, it's just so crazy to think about that the Red Rooster 3 is 10 miles up a freshwater river somewhere right now. It's pretty wild.
It really is. You know, you're sitting here, we're tied up right now on shore power. They have actually 2 yards. There's a new yard, which is a giant facility, and then the old yard is where they tie you up on standby. But we're sitting here right now, and the river's just running by at about 5 knots right down the side of the boat. So it's really something.
That's so crazy to me. I just can't fathom. That's really cool.
Got to have some real good lines, that's for sure, to hold that.
Well, it's funny how it works. You know, the closer you get to shore, there's all kinds of ebbs and little breakwaters and this and that kind of cut the river a little bit. So it's not, you know, like the roaring rapids. But, you know, it's swift for sure. And motoring around in it is a whole different story, too, because the water doesn't all go the way it looks. You know, it hits different bars and this and that, and it changes currents. And kind of interesting, especially driving around, you know. A lot of the river itself is, you know, 10 feet deep, 8 feet deep. So that shallow water has an impact on your navigation, too. So it's definitely different, and it's been a pretty enjoyable experience. And, you know, I got a lot of help from Jack Webster lining us up to get up here. You know, he really helped us out with the navigation because I'd never been up here. I had no idea. And originally he was going to go with us, but then he was skeptical with the health issue and this and that that was going on. But he walked us through getting up here, going all the way up the coast, and looked at weather and kind of timeline, got us situated and got us up here and got us in position to get in. So I got to hand it to Jack. He did a fantastic job getting us up here via telephone and via text. So my thanks to Jack Webster for helping us out.
That's cool. That's awesome. So what river is it, Andy?
That's the Umpqua.
The Umpqua.
And it's about 22 miles above Coos Bay. I think Coos Bay is probably the more popular harbor. And, you know, when we got up here, we came up to the Umpqua, and there was, you know, a 14-foot swell, so we couldn't go in. So we went back down 22 miles and then went into Coos Bay. And it's funny how the 20 miles, it's like a whole different world. You know, it was gigantic swell and waves up here. And then we went in down there, and it was like going into Mission Bay Channel. You know, it's completely different. So there's just, I don't know, you know, it has to do with canyons and this and that along the beach. But, boy, it was really a nice entrance there. We had to spend 2 days in there in Charleston and wait for the swell to come down. Then we came back up, and it was actually pretty civilized getting through the channel here up at the Umpqua after that. So it all worked out, but you definitely got to pay attention to what's going on as far as the bars. And they put up bar reports. You know, the Coast Guard's really good about it up here. Every couple hours they put up bar reports. You can make personal calls, and you can actually call on the radio there and get a bar report on scene. So, you know, they don't mess around with it at all. It's not a free-for-all. You know, you got to make sure that you check in, especially a passenger-carrying vessel. You know, you got to make sure you check in and go through the motions to go in and out of the channel there.
Wow. What an experience. What a new experience for you, too. How's the bar look today?
Yeah.
Oh, the bar looks good today. You know, we were actually in position to leave yesterday because we did sea trials, and fortunately everything ran as smooth as silk. So we did sea trials, and then we were in position to leave, but it's an outgoing tide, and it's just not a good idea, you know, to get that swell. River current, and it jacks it up pretty good, so it's not a great idea. Although today's calling for an incoming tide until about, I think, 1 o'clock, so we can get out of here and hit on the incoming tide, and it looks like it's 3 foot, 4 foot, so it's not a big deal at all. And plus, you know, you get more water on the bar there, and it really starts to lay down. It's kind of similar to going in and out of the channel there at Mission Bay. You know, when there's swell, it's like, whoa, boy. I mean, depending on the tide, things change and this and that, but we should be taking off here at about 9:30 and then going downriver. As crazy as that sounds, we're going to go downriver.
I can't get over that, man.
Like, yeah, they're right. You're probably turning heads on the bank of the Umpqua there. People, well, look at that boat, right?
You're used to seeing that thing at Hurricane Bank, not up a river, not somewhere you catch a steelhead.
You know, it was funny because we were going up, let's see, there was oil platforms when we went up through Santa Barbara and went up through there, guys. We'd go close to the platforms to check them out. You know, guys up there taking pictures. I saw a couple guys posted them on Facebook. What is the Red Rooster doing up here?
Classic. Yeah, just trying to find some new sand bass zone.
Yeah. They're like, where are you going, man? You're going the wrong way.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, that's cool. What was the draw of going up, you know, up that you know, up there? I mean, obviously, I'm sure, you know, a lot of boatyards between here and there. What was the draw of taking the boat all the way up to Oregon?
Well, you know, we had a project on here where we did the shaft tubes, and that requires bottom plate and replacing the tubes in which the shafts go through on the bottom of the boat. And we did two of them last year. We did the outboards, the port and starboard, and it was a pretty long, drawn-out process. So I had gotten word that there was an interest of Fred Wall because of the construction. It's actually called Fred Wall Marine Construction. You know, it's a big yard, and they do a lot of fitting and basically redoing boats. I mean, it's pretty bizarre. But anyway, the idea was to get up here and shorten the time and have these guys do it. And unfortunately, the time dragged on about 2.5 weeks longer than we thought. But we had to do the center, and you know, the outboards were pretty difficult last year. Danny Nichols really helped us out with the outboards last year. In fact, he made the day happen with the alignment and getting things straightened out there with procedure and everything. And so we got word that these guys did this. That was their specialty, and it sure comes to find out that it is. But the center, you know, you had to go through the keel in order to place this shaft tube, and it just sounded like it was going to be a really, really big project, and we thought that it would be more down their alley up here, and as it came to be, it certainly was. I mean, I mean we had the whole keel ripped open, and it was like, whoa, man. I wouldn't even imagine how to start, you know. Looking from the outside, you look at the project, and it's like, oh, my God, where do we start, you know? And they knew exactly what to do and how to do it. I mean, bar none. Procedure, steps made, everything was – it was not a surprise to them. This is exactly how we're going to do it. So that was kind of the deal. And, you know, here to find out, you know how things are, you hindsight. Looking at the big picture, I wish that I would have scheduled quite a few other things to do because of the efficiency – And the cost of what they do up here is considerably different than down in San Diego.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
It really is. That's great, man. Fascinating.
So Red Rooster 3 comes back. You'll be back down here in 3 or 4 days. And then what's the plan for trips? I know we're still waiting, but do you have something in the schedule that you feel pretty strongly you'll be able to go?
Well, we've pushed back the June heat trip. And we're still focused on getting that out, which, you know, it's been tough, you know, and we'll just have to wait for the opening and then see if everyone's still motivated to go. But as of now, we've still got that on schedule. And then, yet, like everybody else, you know, we've had an impact here for June for sure. So we'll probably try and string together some shorter trips to modify the schedule a little bit. But come July, things look like they're – we didn't have too bad of an impact in July, so we should be fine starting July and carry on with our original schedule. But, you know, like everybody, it's just been such a interesting spring here, you know, and people have had to modify. And in this particular situation now, not just modify, but actually stand by, you know, we're standing by to get the okay to proceed with our business. So. Hopefully, you know, Ken Frankie and the landing owners have done such a fantastic job trying to orchestrate this. And, you know, it's one of those things where you just, you know, you put it in their hands, because you don't need too many voices in a situation like that. You know, you need chiefs, not a bunch of Indians running around. That's the only way to do this.
Yeah, for sure. So, Andy, once you get the June heat trip in, which we certainly hope you do, then what's the summer schedule look like for the Red Rooster 3? What do you do? What do you target? What's going to happen?
26.
Well, you know, the 26th, we've got an 8-day trip. We weren't able to get the one in the middle of June after we get back from June heat out, but we got an 8-day trip there, and then we go into a string of 4s, 5s, 6s, and then there's that August, where there's a 7, and we do a couple of 3s. It's that kind of fishing, you know. The schedule's a little bit mixed up, and then you get into the fall where those super popular 8-day trips, 6-day trips go into effect, and there's a long list of those. So the spring is becoming a little bit interesting nowadays, especially with the local arena. You know, I know in March, on our way back from our March trip, we stopped and we spent a couple 3 days fishing bluefin. I know Jeff on the Royal Polaris stopped and fished a couple days fishing bluefin, and it was nice fishing. Here we are in March. So with some of the private boats going out, it looks like things are pretty typical here, man. It's just a different arena, and it certainly seems like the focus and the market is shorter trips earlier in the year so that guys can get a chance at catching some of this bluefin. That seems to be a really good time of year. And I hate to say it, but, you know, last year that fishing was really good in March, April, May, which is different, you know. It's like, whoa, there's actually a fishery to be had. It almost seems like, you know, just kind of modify things a little bit. I would imagine there's going to be a lot more day-and-a-half trips in the future. There's going to be three-day trips in the future, as far as scheduling goes in the spring, rather than those long 8-day trips, you know, with the lack of tuna that was, you know, the 8-day spring trips where guys were all lathered up to go to Alaos Rock, sit on the anchor, catch nice tuna, catch nice yellowtail. Once the tuna thing kind of went away at Alejos, it kind of took the draw off of that, you know. People wanted to go down then and fish the ridge, fish the yellowtail on the ridge. And then you found that you had to run 500 miles back up to wherever to catch a tuna. Made it a little bit dysfunctional. So I think guys are, a lot of the boats are kind of looking at keeping shorter trips for the spring. I know we are. I know we're looking at that. I don't know what other guys are doing, but I know we're looking at that and try and focus on this fishery that's basically in our backyard. You know, I mean, it's right here.
Really.
You got, why run 500 miles when you can run 40? I mean, it just seems to make more sense, you know.
No doubt about it. Well,
I was just going to say, we're just so anxious for, you know, for that green light to happen. Just knowing the volume of fish that is around right now, you know, from the private boats that are able to get out and things like that, it would be so much fun to get to see the Red Rooster do the damage that it would do. With, you know, I mean, the fishing potential is so good right now. Just to see, you know, a boat as capable of yours with the bait that it does and the passengers that it hold, it would just be so fun to see what would happen if you could turn you guys loose right now.
Yeah, that fishery was. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
loud and clear, buddy. Oh,
okay. Yeah, you cut out there for a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that fishery all the way down to Colonnette and down outside of San Martin, I mean, that's basically where we were in March. And, boy, it was just a fantastic arena down there. But, yeah, I mean, everybody's just basically frothing right now to get out. And like you said, Rick, with the local boat or the private boats going out, you know, my son and Ethan went out a couple weeks ago. God, they had a great day of fishing, man. Nice bluefin, 100-plus-pound fish. Go out, get back by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everyone's got a nice big tuna in the sack. And you know, I mean, what more could you ask for, you know? I mean, it's pretty sensational.
Kidding.
Throw on a few flying fish, put the kite out, boom, boom, boom. Hey, it's time to go in. We'll make happy hour.
I like
hey,
your style.
Andy, talk about Captain Ethan for a minute and his role on the Red Rooster 3.
Well, Ethan's been with us for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. Last year, he started to get his feet wet on some trips, did a fantastic job, and he's with me here right now, as a matter of fact. But he's done a really nice job for us on the boat here, very dedicated, learning a lot about the mechanics of the boat, the operation of the boat. And does a really nice job with managing the crew, you know, which is a huge deal on these boats. Everybody gets along. We've had a little bit of a turnover. You know, I've got my son working here now, and I hate to say it, but, you know, I look at the timeline, and it's like, uh-oh, I just turned 50. If you can believe that. So, you know, now you've got these guys that seem like young kids, but they're all 24, 26, 28. You're like, oh, they're not young kids anymore. They're full-grown adults now, so
yeah. It's scary, isn't it, Andy?
I mean, it took me a while. I held on to 49 as long as I could. I was holding tough, and I held on to that, and then, boom, all of a sudden it was 50, and it's like, oh, my God. Well, okay, here we go, 50 years old. Here we have it.
You're still rolling and still doing well. That's awesome, man. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up. Great show lined up for you today with Captain Andy Cates from the Red Rooster 3 calling us live from Oregon on his way home to bring the boat back to San Diego. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is going to be an awesome one, and we're just so excited. So much cool stuff to cover from long-range fishing and local fishing and all that great tuna fishing we had last year. And, boy, you want to talk about the absolute expert having Captain Andy Cates. It's going to be a very fun day, and we want to hear from you. If you want to join us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, be a part of the show. Give us a call at 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. 0973. Not only is that going to be your chance to talk to Captain Andy, but also your shot at winning a fantastic prize. How about this? At the end of the show today, one lucky caller is going to win a brand new custom Anza fillet knife.
Yeah.
Just the absolute finest knives in the world, custom made right here in San Diego, California.
Game Chase spoiler knife. Yeah. Once you start using Anza, you never go back.
Yeah, I mean, a fantastic high-carbon steel, just the best that they have to offer. And somebody's going to get that brand-new knife. In addition to that, we're also going to give away a $50 gift card to our great friends over at Point Loma Seafoods, the freshest thing in town. And we said, opened every day from 11 to 7, and big news yesterday. 11 to 6, excuse me. Big news yesterday, the doors were open.
And they're seating.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Limited capacity seating,
yep.
Yeah,
you're allowed to go down and enjoy the beautiful view. You can sit up top and get a fish sandwich and a cold beer and watch exactly where the Red Rooster ties right up. I mean, it's the best view in the bay to go get a little spot. And you're going to get $50 and a great gift certificate to Point Loma Seafood. So a couple of fantastic prizes. Again, if you want to get through, 833-288-0973. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls. Lots of great info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Dana Lanning in Mission Bay is truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. This is Chelsea. Come see me and our expert fishing staff for just about anything you need for a great day of on-the-water fun. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Lanning has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect for up to four anglers, or the Impulse with up to six. Dana Lanning has a huge selection with everything you need to catch small bay bass or giant tuna. We will be sure to set you up with the right gear. We even offer reel repair and Mexican and California fishing licenses. Don't forget the amazing deli at Dana Lanning with all the food, ice, and beverages you need to complete your day. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle with all the finest rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. East County Bait and Tackle is located at the end of the 67 freeway on Main Street in Lakeside, and Dana Lanning is next to the Dana Launch Ramp on San Diego's Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing, for charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay. Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance, still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's snapins.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here in the world headquarters overlooking the fleet, who is very ready to go fishing right now.
Standing by.
Yeah, for sure.
Ready, very ready. I mean, you look at that. I mean, the only one really under construction anymore is kind of the Royal Polaris, right?
Yeah, I mean, which is, you know, this is kind of their maintenance time normally. So, and I'm sure that, you know, same deal. Once the green light goes, I'm sure things will happen even faster than they already are.
Yeah, and I know, Red Rooster is coming back. Be ready for action very soon. Captain Andy Cates is joining us from, what's the name of the town you're in, Andy?
We're in Reedsport, Oregon.
Reedsport?
To kind of put it in a geographical thing, it's about 95 miles west of Eugene.
Okay.
And about 75 miles south of Newport, Oregon.
Gotcha. All right.
That's wild. So,
and it's probably raining right now.
Well, you know, unbelievably, it's not. We've got pretty magical blue skies here right now, but it rains every day. You know, it's funny. One of the gals the other day, she said, yeah, I went out the back door and it was pouring rain, and I went out the front door of the house and it was sunny. It's like, okay, I get that. I see how that works.
Needless to say, you're ready for some California sunshine again.
Yeah, it's cold, man. It's cold all the time. Well, you know, they say that it's been a pretty wet season for a spring up here. This is odd, really. They said the temperature is usually a little bit higher. It's odd. But when we got up here, you know, the water was 45 degrees.
Oh,
and yesterday the water was 61 degrees. So there's been a significant change here in the last, you know, few weeks on weather patterns. So it's getting warmer. It's definitely getting warmer. When we first got up here, it was gloves and jackets, parkas, heaters on. And now it's you know, it's sweatshirt weather, to say the least, right now.
That's cool.
That's good.
That's good.
Well, you're going to be happy when you get home.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, phones are packed.
They
want to talk to Andy, for sure, so let's go ahead and jump into it.
You got it, man. How about we talk to Harry? Harry's calling us from La Jolla this morning. Hi, Harry. Thanks for getting us started here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. I'm kind of curious about the derivation of the name Red Rooster, and was there a 1 and 2, and perhaps a very brief history of the boat?
Well, that's a pretty good question. You know, it's always been a wonder of where did the Red Rooster thing come, and it's kind of an interesting story. There is a chain of boats. There was the Chabasco, which is now the Old Glory, which was the Cherokee Geisha for years. That was the first boat. Or no, I'm sorry. The first boat was the Red Rooster, which was now the Ranger 85. Then there was the Chabasco. And then there was the Red Rooster 2, which is the Islander, and then the Red Rooster 3. And the Red Rooster, I know this is going to sound a little bit odd, but from what I've been told is the name came during the Korean War at an opium den in Korea.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's the rumor that I heard. So Linda would be able to give you a better idea on that. But isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. So when
or maybe not an opium den, but let's call it a bar. A bar.
There you go. Yeah.
A bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did the Red Rooster go into existence? When did you start operate, or when did the Red Rooster 3 float and start operating?
The boat was built and floated in 1982. And then I started working on the boat in 1992 when Bob Burns had retired and John Grabowski was running the boat. And I worked with John for a couple of years, and then he quit and went on to doing his import-export glassware sales that he does now, him and his ex-wife. And then Ron Gribble ran the boat for about a year. They used to work for Tommy Rothery, and then I stepped in at a pretty young age. You know, I think I was 26 years old when I stepped in and took over full time. So it's been a career pretty much around this boat, to say the
least.
That's
awesome, Andy.
That's cool. Hey, Harry, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that very much.
I always like hearing that history. You know, you just never know. Like that's
you
cool.
Forget,
yeah, totally.
The Islander and the Ranger 85, they were all Red Roosters.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, phones are packed up. If you want to get your shot, 833-288-0973. We're going to next up talk to Ed. He's calling us from Mira Mesa. Hi, Ed. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, guys. I have a couple questions. One is, last week you were talking about using braid to mono and into fluorocarbon. As far as the fluorocarbon, is that the same poundage as far as the connection between mono and fluorocarbon? Like, do you use like a 25 to 20 or something like that? And what is a good easy knot for me to tie for the mono to the fluorocarbon?
Andy, you want to handle that?
Oh, I completely lost track of that. Rick, you go ahead, man. You're the tackle expert.
Yes, to answer your question, the easiest thing would be if you're fishing with Spectra on your reel and then like a casting length or a longer or shorter piece of monofilament, and then you want to put a little, you know, a little bite piece of fluorocarbon leader at the end, the best move would normally just be to match the fluorocarbon to whatever size mono was on the reel. So
40 to 40.
Exactly. You're fishing bluefin right now, and you've got 65-pound Spectra and, you know, 100 feet of 40-pound mono. Just tie a little piece of 40-pound fluoro to the end of that mono. That would be the easiest. And as far as a good easy knot, I think a back-to-back uni knot is really good, as well as that Seaguar knot. I think those two, when you're just attaching a small piece of similar size tests, those are two really good ones to go by. They're just quick, they're easy, as long as they're tied appropriately. They're not going to fail, plenty strong, and get you back in the water real quick.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right, how about next up we talk to Tom. He's calling us from University City this morning. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, you know, I was wondering about trolling for tuna. It's, you know, I see all the private boats set up with outriggers, and you know, there used to be a lot of discussion about trolling, but I don't hear about people trolling up fish as much anymore, or maybe I just don't know about it. I wanted to ask, when are the what types of tuna or conditions would you be trolling for tuna, and what kind of jigs would you use, and does it happen as much as it used to?
Well, you know, I can start off with some of that, but I'm sure the other guys will have more input too. You know, we don't get a lot of jig strikes, you know, especially in that local arena with that bluefin. You just don't get very many jig strikes. A lot of the fishing is done with the bait or with the kite, with the flying fish on the private boats for sure. You know, I'll tell you, the jig that a lot of guys use now is that Nomad. And we've had success on that where you get a jig strike on where you think you wouldn't. But, you know, we still get a lot of jig strikes down the ridge and down in the warm waters along the coast of Cabo San Lucas and whatnot. You get a lot of jig strikes down there. And there are certain times in the fall when the water warms up, you get strikes on yellowfin. But it's not exactly a, hey, let's put the jigs out and troll for bluefin thing. You know, it just doesn't really work that way. That's got to have a little more patience than that. But the Nomad is the hot jig. It was for pretty much all species, you know. But guys rig them up for wahoo, and we've had really some incredible success down in the tropical waters for the wahoo on that. And then here to find out, you get, you know, we've had strikes on 200-pound tuna on the Nomad, you know. So that's been kind of a state-of-the-art trolling lure. And every couple of years, you know, there's a new one, you know. It was like, oh, the Marauder, and then, oh, the Cowbell, you know, and, oh, now it's the Nomad. So I'd have to say, you know, currently that's probably the hot lure.
That's the DTX, the bigger one, right?
Yeah, the 220.
Yeah. If you were trolling for tuna, like, at home right now, like, we had a bud that was fishing on a skiff, and, you know, bluefin can be one of those frustrating things where, you know, if you're on a boat that doesn't hold a lot of sardines and they were trying to pour it on them and get a couple of bites, and long story short, they got on a couple of really good schools and early in the day found themselves out of bait, and they literally put back a cedar plug and one of those DTX minnows, a little smaller in the 165 size, and trolled up 225-pound bluefins.
Really?
Just dragging around,
wow,
dragging around a DTX 125. You know, and they they'd see a breezer and they'd kind of skirt it or just a blind strike. But yeah, they had three bites and they got two of them, and they were 125 pounders just dragging along a DTX 125.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty wild.
That's pretty cool. That's good stuff. Hey, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call.
Andy, I was going to say the one thing that it seems to me, too, is, you know, even on fish that maybe you would got a bite on a Zucker feather, it seems like you guys have become so crazy proficient at fishing with a sonar now that, like, it seems like a lot of times you see that ball of fish or school of fish up in front of you and are moving the boat around it, and it just seems like where a trolling lure used to be a locating indicator almost more so. Now you're just finding that fish ahead of time and moving the boat around it and getting the whole school to swim through you instead of picking one off the corner. It just seems like that sonar has been a big reason why, you know, we see less trolling fish but maybe more success because of it.
Well, you know, when you're positioning like that, even the boat's big, so there is quite a bit of positioning to get right, but you know, a lot of times we just wind the jigs in. You know, they become a hinder more than anything, you know. You know, guys are tangled up, freaking out on the back deck, trying to get a bait, and this and that, and you're winding and jig. So, I mean, a lot of times we don't even troll in that arena, you know. Trolling is a big deal, obviously, for Wahoo. But, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I'm not back there when we get trolling jig strikes, so I miss that excitement. But, you know, it's such a casual way of fishing. I mean, you drop back your lure and you drive around, and then all of a sudden, bam, and boy, when that line goes streaking off that reel and that clicker goes off and your fish on, what an exhilarating experience, man. So
you're right, you know, ain't no doubt about it. There's no replacement for that.
It really is exciting. You know, the Wahoo thing, that's what it's sensational, man, when you get a jig strike. And it's a surprise now, you know, for a lot of these boats in the early part of the year when you're fishing up local there. It's like, oh my God, we got a jig strike? You got to be kidding me. You know? And it's like, wow. But, you know, some people, I don't want to troll. But it is absolutely spectacular when you get blind hit and all of a sudden it's fish on. Here you are, 1 minute sitting on the rail drinking a beer, next minute you're tied into this, you know, trophy sized fish. It's just sensational, man.
That is pretty cool.
Well,
so
said.
Now, what about now? Ricky was saying about the sonar. Once the use of sonar on the boats came into being, did that lessen the necessity to troll?
Well, I think that over the time of the non-productivity of getting strikes, you know, it's like, well, do we really want to put the jigs out? And then even back in the albacore years, you know, you don't necessarily want to get stopped short. You want to be able to get the boat positioned on the meat so that, you know, you can get some to stick with you. And if you can't get positioned and you get so-called stopped short, it can actually, you know, kind of ruin your chance. And you know, the fish don't just sit there and wait for you, as you know. I mean, you got to blast to get to it, get around it, get out in front of it, and they're squirting around to the left and the right, and that's when you can follow it around with a sonar a bit. But a lot of the success is just visual. You know, you see the fish flipping on the surface, and then when you get close, then you use the sonar to get you positioned on it more than anything. But you know, a big percentage of anything that's caught is actually seen prior to getting close enough to the sonar, you know. And then you use the sonar to position the boat on the fish. Is more like the same thing with structure fishing. You know, you can use the sonar to get you on the right side of the ridge or the tip of the ridge or whatever the case is as far as being in the right position. But it's more of a positioning tool when you're actually in the vicinity. It's more than anything. But don't get me wrong, I mean, there's nothing wrong with driving along in a big giant sonar school, stop the boat and fish on. I'm not
you're not knocking it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm not going to say that's not great. I'm just saying it's a big part of it is used for positioning more than anything. And that's why the trolling thing it makes it a little bit more complicated. You know, a lot of times we'll say, hey man, wind in the jigs, I don't want to get stopped short, we see this nice spot and we want to get to it and get the boat positioned on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell on, but I got to ask one thing then in terms of that. If you had to be handcuffed and could only have one of the two, what's more important? Like a good set of gyros where you're seeing fish flipping around or seeing bait sign, or your sonar? Like what's the more important tool for you to have?
Boy, that's That's a good question, man. I mean, it's just which set of handcuffs do you want to have on?
Yeah.
I guess that's how you say. I mean, because they both go so hand in hand. I mean, you finally see what you want in the binoculars, and then you get up to it, and it's hard to position. I don't know, man. That's a really good question. That's
not fair to answer.
I don't even know if I can answer that. Which set of handcuffs do you want?
Good call. I like it. Right, I will. Appreciate the phone call very much. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your questions, more great info. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup with Captain Andy Cates on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Cedrus Island, you've heard of it. Your buddies have gone, but you don't know if it's for you. Yeah, it sounds cool. Fishing from pongas and hanging out with a bunch of people at a lodge. But you like your own space. You enjoy some soul time. You want to be part of the community and enjoy the people while you're on your trip. And you want an owner-guided experience so you can explore the whole fishery and all it has to offer. This is Jeff from Cedros Kayak Fishing. I'll greet you when you arrive at Cedros, host you the entire time of your stay, and join you daily for epic fishing experiences the way I fish Cedros, the surrounding islands, and the Baja Coast. Myself and my crew will immerse you in the Cedros Island culture and community so you can experience life on Cedros the way we live it. If you're looking for a more personal-style trip with a smaller group and a laid-back atmosphere, Cedros Kayak Fishing is your spot. Give me a call at 760-412-2507 or visit our website, cedroskayakfishing.com. Let's get you down to Cedros.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater rods and reels, like Talica, Trinidad, and Tranks reels, plus Terramar and Therese rods. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano rod and reel for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Have you always wanted a boat but don't want all the hassles? Then you need to join Freedom Boat Club, where you get hassle-free boating. Freedom Boat Club buys the boats, you enjoy them, and they do the rest. Freedom Boat Club takes care of the slip fee, maintenance, insurance, and cleaning. You have access to a fleet of great fishing and family boats ready to go in the water at Mission Bay, San Diego Bay, and 190-plus locations across the world. For more information, check freedomboatclub.com or visit them at Dana Landing and Cabrillo Isle Marina.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Phones are packed. Everybody's excited to talk to Andy, man. Lots of great stuff going on this morning.
Yeah, indeed. And if you want to get through, have a chance to win the Anza Filet Knife plus a $50 gift certificate to Point Loma Seafoods, 833-288-0973. Dave is standing by, taking your phone calls as well as running aboard and doing pretty much everything in the studio there. So be patient with Dave, and he'll get to you when he can.
No doubt. Well, hey, I want to make a very quick shameless plug. You know, Andy was talking earlier about how good the bluefin fishing was and the flying fish thing. We had a very cool opportunity when it comes to flying fish. You know, we've worked very closely with our good buddies from Karma, where all of our flying fish come from. They're really good. Yeah, they are really, really good. And they said, hey, we got a unique one for you. We ordered several hundred again that they got in yesterday. But they said, you know, we just got back from fishing this morning, and we have 75 that are fresh, you know, not been frozen yet. So we have, we got them yesterday afternoon, kind of evening, and we will have them today. They're not been frozen yet flying fish. I mean, they are still, iridescent blue and all the cool colors. So, we'll, you know, just for today, and obviously at the end of the day, they'll go into the ice house and they'll just become regular stock of frozen flyers like everything else. But these are, it's just a trip at how good they look. So if you're going, you know, tomorrow and you want to keep these things on ice, they are just, they're spectacular. Like, it's like a, you know, it's like a tuna, what it looks like when it's fresh on the deck or when it's, you know, after it's been frozen. It's crazy how good-looking these baits are. So they're the same price, nothing different. We'll have them for, you know, until today, and then we'll put them in the ice house, and they'll just go back to regular frozen, you know, as all the standard great baits have been. But.
And the doors are open.
Yes. Oh, my God, it felt so good yesterday. Yeah.
So you can actually walk into the store without having to pound on the window.
Exactly. No, Biz is back to normal-ish, you know. Obviously, we're following all the same, you know, protocols that we need to. Yep, got to have a face covering, and you know, we've got, just like going anywhere else, the lines are drawn 6 feet and all those things. But yeah, we're back to business as usual, and it feels so good. Yeah,
for sure, and be sure to practice these social guidelines, because the people are watching. You don't want these companies to be shut down because of something that you did.
You got it, man.
So make sure you abide by the rules, and we'll all be safe, and we'll be able to go fishing.
I know. I can speak for us, and I also know it's the same with both Point Loma and H&M, that these guidelines we've taken. I mean, we want the boats to get out fishing. So, like, everything we have done, we have taken very seriously, because we want to be expedited on fishing. We don't want something to be hanging us up.
Yeah,
but, yeah, we're excited. So, come on down.
Yeah, so things are opening up, and time to go fishing.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, time to jump back in the calls.
Sounds good, man. Let's talk to John. He's calling us from Escondido this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And just to jump on that last note with Ricky, I went down yesterday with my wife to have lunch at Point Loma Seafoods, and was going to go over and knock on the door, and I was like, the doors are open. What's going on? You know, and I actually got to go in the store and touch stuff and shop. But my question for Andy is, since you're up there in Oregon, are you going to do any albacore fishing on your way down?
No, I don't think so. We got to stay right on the coast, man. You actually got to navigate by radar, because you got to.
Looks like we might have lost Andy there for a second.
Got you, Andy?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess you didn't get any of that. No, I don't think we're going to do any albacore fishing, man. I think we're just going to get to the barn. You got to stay close to the beach anyway.
How is the running down there? I mean, you'd kind of briefly mentioned there before you said you got to do a lot of navigating by radar. Is the direct pretty route, or is it you got to be fairly savvy with your navigation coming home?
Well, you can't really just plot positions and go here and go there, because you like I said, you got to kind of stay by the beach. Like on the way up, you know, we had one situation where we got out offshore, and the difference between 2 miles off the beach and 10 miles off the beach is pretty amazing. I mean, it went from a nice ride to, oh wow, we're in a different ocean. So you got to stay right next to the beach, and there's a lot of bays and cuts and curves, and so you got to kind of go up by the radar, especially at night. But you know, it's just a long beach run, to be honest with you, you know, and 2 miles off the beach is like, oh, especially in waters that you've never been in. But it wasn't that bad. The ride up was actually sensational. So we're hoping for the same on the way down. But once again, you know, we're going to stay close to the beach so that we can stay out of any weather that might come across. But it does look like we're going to have a pretty nice ride down.
Nice.
Everybody,
that's always good.
Everybody always refers to you know, us being in Southern California being spoiled by the ocean weather. It sounds like you're kind of confirming that.
Oh, absolutely. This is a different world up here, man. Any of the guys that commercial fish, the albacore guys, this is a whole different program up here, man. And you ask them, and they're like, oh yeah, it's different for sure. I mean, we're up here in the 40s, you know. In the latitude.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Different.
I was alluding to that, Andy, when I went up fishing with Harold Davis a couple weeks ago in Morro Bay. Even just Central California, I mean, it's a different world. I mean, it's cold. I'm putting on like 3 layers. And you know, it's like the whole environment is colder, right? I can imagine in Oregon it's even worse.
Yeah, well, I guess Conception, that's the changing of the guard. You know, once you get to Point Conception, you get up above that, it's a whole different program. You know, that's the line, you know. Oh, boy, up above Conception, it changes. Boy, you're not kidding.
You feel it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, boy, it got cold. You know, the transit of that San Francisco Bay was amazing. You know, you don't realize how big that bay is until you're still driving from one point to the next, and you're, you know, 6 hours later, you're still driving through it. You know, it's like, oh my, it's a giant, giant bay.
That's crazy. What a cool experience for you guys. I think that's awesome. And obviously, it sounds like it was beneficial. And the, you know, as always happens with you guys and everybody in the long range fleet, the boats are just better and better because of it.
Yeah, well, like I said, with the experience from Jack Webster helping us out get up here, I mean, that was amazing, you know. I mean, it's just a difference between having some kind of an idea of where to be at what time you're going to get to this point, what time, you know, what to look for at this point, what to look for at this bay. He's the one that basically navigated the boat up here. I just held on to the steering wheel, but he pretty much navigated the boat up here.
That's awesome. Well, Jack's done it a few times for sure. Great. Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy. How about we talk to Tom? Tom's calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Good. My question is, Andy, if you had a local two-day trip, and by the way, I always appreciate you volunteering a day of the docks to be dunked. I thought that's very, very big of you. But if you had a two-day trip locally, let's say in a month or two when things open up or are opened up, what would you suggest as an itinerary with an eye toward bluefin?
Well, it's, you know, from what we saw early in the year, and I think what we saw last year is there's that mid-grade fish or that smaller grade fish, and a lot of guys scale down. You know, that bluefin fishing is smaller tackle, and not everybody's got the novelty to put, you know, kites and troll kites out, this and that. So if you're looking at fly lining, you know, a lot of guys will have an outfit as light as 30-pound test, you know, to get a bite, and then guys will have as heavy as, you know, 50, 60, even 100-pound test. But for that school-sized fish, you know, which means school size has been like, what, 40 to 60-pound fish, guys were able to finesse with 30-pound and make nice catches on that. And once again, you're not out there on a meat run. You know, you're trying to catch, you know, a nice fish, and you don't need 10 of them. Or allowed to have 10 of them. You just need one, you know, or two of these nice fish. So, it once again, it's sport fishing, you know. We're not out there. It's not a slaughter, you know. It's just sport fishing. Guys are right. Focused on catching one, you know, more than I got to get my limit. You know, it's just not like that. You know, you just want to catch one. So it's, you know, a lot of guys have fun with a small outfit, 30-pound test, and then I would certainly bring something a little heavier, you know, 50 or 60-pound test. And then, you know, when that bigger fish shows up, you know, and guys are focused on that, then they go into the flat falls and, you know, and then the kites, and then on certain occasions you hook them on the bigger gear. But it sure seems like guys will have a lighter outfit rigged up for that earlier part of the season anyway.
Gotcha. Well, all right. Hey, perfect. Tom, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You know, we're talking about places opening up and things happening. West Coast Marine, Parker, up in Costa Mesa and San Diego, they're back opened up, and I talked to Kevin Kelly yesterday. Business is booming.
That's great.
So if you want your own Parker boat, you better get on it, because they are, you know, they have a bunch on order, but they're going out the door fast because people have figured out, you know, they want to have their own boat. When somebody says you can't go fishing, you want to go fishing. You have your own boat, you can go fishing.
And this fish is just the last few years. It's not, you know, I mean, it is. It has not become a, you know, something that is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. This big fish is in our backyard, yeah. And at least for the time being, the cycle that we're in, it's living here. And, you know, to be able to go 40, 50 miles very comfortably with you and your buds and get on that fish, that is just the perfect boat for it.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're getting a little pilot house, a walk-around, or a central console like ours, it's a very comfortable, easy-to-operate, efficient, not too terribly expensive boat. They're just perfect.
Easy to clean, easy to maintain, all that. So check out Parker Boats, both in San Diego and Costa Mesa. And if you want one, get on it quick because you might have to wait till next year if you don't get on it soon. So let's go ahead and jump back into it, Rick.
You got it. I want to mention we got a note from our good buddy John Christensen from Point Loma Seafoods. Just, you know, obviously we mentioned that they are open, and he just wanted to remind everybody that they are just like everybody else taking things very, very serious. And so just to, you know, because they're limiting the number of people that are inside the market, you might need to expect slightly longer wait times, but he can assure you that the crew is doing the very best job they can to both follow the rules and provide that super high level of service that Point Loma Seafood's always known for. So, but the, you know, the big deal is they're open and you can come in and you can come enjoy it. There's obviously a little more space in between people than normal and maybe a little slightly longer time for your squid sando, but it's worth the wait, and they're up and running.
Well, they've had such incredibly great fresh fish. Like this week, I had some fresh king salmon, fresh white sea bass that was off the charts, incredible. Yeah, so they have a lot of great fish.
And the freshest thing in town, man. No doubt about it. All right, well, let's jump back into the phones. This time we'll talk to Mark. He's calling us from Santee this morning. Hi, Mark. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Mark?
My question's for Andy. Andy, how long were you up there in the shipyard, and did you do any fishing while you were up there?
We got up here at the very beginning of May. The very beginning of April. So we were up here all of April and some of May here. We did. We went into the Smith River a couple of times, and we didn't catch much. We didn't catch much. I'll tell you that. But, you know, right now the big thing, I guess, was the stripers. You know, guys were trying for those. I can't say that we did any good on that. But, it's one of those things where it rains a lot, and you got to kind of – you know when it's not raining because there's people lined up. And a lot of guys fish at night here for those stripers. You know, it's kind of interesting. But come Friday afternoon, it's a big deal, man. I mean, guys be lined up along the edge of the river there for miles. You know, they just park the truck, pull over, light a fire, cast out their baits and soak the baits and wait for a bite. You know, it's pretty popular, man. It's actually really popular. But we only went out a couple of days and tried it. You know, a half a day we'd go out, beat the bank with lures and this and that. We got a couple of trout one day, but that was about it. No big game fish that we were able to put on the gram or anything like that. You know, it was just
gotcha.
It was just to get away from the boat and do something different more than anything.
I know the Umpqua, 50 miles up the river there, is world famous for an incredible smallmouth fishery too.
Yeah, that's what I was told. That's what I was told. But we never
a ways away from where you are, but
yeah, we made it up the Smith River up to the first ladder, the salmon ladder, the fish ladder, and it was absolutely spectacular. Of course, it was pouring rain that day, but nonetheless, I mean, you know, we went up and checked some things out, but it's about as beautiful as it gets. It's definitely God's country. But as far as fishing goes, cool. We didn't spend a lot of time at it. By no means did we spend much time. We were doing what we were doing here.
Yeah, for sure. You're up there to work, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay. Ron, tell me it's true. The doors are open at Fast Lane?
Hey, man, my ears were burning. As I was listening to the show this morning, I heard Andy talk about frothing, and I just thought, man, that is exactly what I've got. I'm frothing.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That puts it lightly.
I mean, my kayak guys finally got to go out and go kayak fishing, and it was just like they were frothing. And sales have been really brisk. I'm telling you, this fishing thing is just, when they take it away from you, like surfing, you get a little bit antsy. You get a little bit like, I want it more now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're open, and man, it has been busy. I was lucky enough to be able to do some curbside deliveries, and man, business was good. And we sold through quite a few of our models. And yesterday, I got a shipment of 70 boats in. So,
70?
We're back in business. Yeah, 70 kayaks came in yesterday.
Wow.
Wow.
It's like a tractor trailer.
Now, Ron, I heard there was a possibility, a little birdie told me, that there was some kind of a deal on some of these kayaks. Tell us about that.
Well, I was lucky enough to get, sometimes when things kind of change, like a lot of people aren't open doing demos anymore, and we had an opportunity to buy some blem boats, which they call demos, or they stamp them, and we were able to get a bunch of these blems, and they're on sale, and we've got Pro Angler 12s, we've got the new Compass, and a few Pro Angler 14s, I think we got five, and they're all on, we can't talk about pricing, but they're really good deals, and they're going quick. We ended up selling 14 kayaks yesterday. It's been kind of like, wow.
Yeah, so the deals are obviously pretty darn, they're foaming in the corner for sure. So Ron, so these, normally Hobie doesn't discount their product because they don't have to, but these are blems, and what's wrong with them?
Yeah, what constitutes a blem or a demo?
Oh, it's usually I can't even tell. I mean, right. It might be a crooked sticker. It might be a little wobble in the hull line, or it's just so you just really can't. I can't find them. I can't discern what some of them are, why they're blems. But they have the full warranty, and they're. I mean, what a great time to get a good deal on a boat. I mean, and it's speaking of perfect timing. I mean, fishing is just. I keep getting these reports that fishing's just good everywhere.
Yeah, time to get back on the water. So if somebody wants to grab one of these demo blem Hobie kayaks, they better hurry, right? And how do we do that? Come over to Fast Lane?
Yeah, just come on over. We're opening them up as quick as we can, and we have them on display. We've got a full staff. All my guys are back, and we're able to put in fish finders on them, and everything's just humming. And I'm just so happy to be back where I can open the doors. It's just, wow. That was
so you're open this Memorial Day weekend, Ron?
Yeah, we're open Saturday. Sunday we're closed. But
you're open today.
We'll be back there. Yeah.
You're open today and you're open. You're closed tomorrow, and then you're going to be open Monday or no?
That's correct. We'll be there Monday.
You will be there Monday. Okay, just close Sunday. All right, very good. Fast Lane Kayaks, where are you? Right next to Dana Landing in Mission Bay, right?
Right. At the launch ramp that you can kind of use.
All right. Very good. All right, Ron Lane, Fast Lane Kayaks. Get over there while you can. Get one of those damn Blemo boats.
That's
for sure.
That's exciting. That's a good deal, that is. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including checking in with the Catch Report, all kinds of great info. You stay tuned. There's more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
It's a fact of life in Southern California, hard water. And if you have a pool, your towel shows it. Here comes San Diego Pool Towel Cleaning to the rescue. With their specialized equipment, SD Pool Towel Cleaning can safely remove the stubborn calcium deposits most pool owners struggle with. SD Pool Towel Cleaning can make your tile look bright and clean, almost like new again. High-pressure pool maintenance cleaning can damage grout, stone, and dislodge tiles. San Diego Pool Towel Cleaning uses a low-pressure media blasting technique to protect your pool surface from damage and yield fantastic results. So stop making excuses for your stained tiles on your pool. Make them look like new again with San Diego Pool Towel Cleaning. Check their website at sdpooltilecleaning.com and let their professional staff rejuvenate your pool tile. When it comes to professional swimming pool tile cleaning service, there's only one name you can trust, San Diego Pool Tile Cleaning. Check sdpooltilecleaning.com.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag 2-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2, the extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid, hoggedy body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads, plus a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and durability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for seven, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more. You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.